हरे कृष्ण। It's very close. Sham Nityananda Das from Delhi has sent the following query. There are many opinions and philosophical interpretations within Vaishnav society. What is the Vaishnav process of resolution of these conflicts? Should there be? He's giving a few possible alternatives. One, a majoritarian democratic process involving the entire Vaishnav congregation. Two, literal textual authoritarianism with strict enforcement and excommunication procedures. Three, hegemony of those who have attained institutional positions due to experience and merit. Four, a legal and philosophical disputation process in which all sides submit their positions and the judgment is made by a body of judges appointed through consensus. Five, an internal dialogue process based on argumentation and compromises that makes everyone least upset. Or six, let each faction thrive and only if the harmony is disturbed, punitive action be taken against the culprit. So the topic is resolution of, or maybe non-resolution, or how to deal with various philosophical opinions. Well, in response to this, there are many opinions, but the truth is one. But even that truth may be seen from various perspectives. That's even at the highest level. If we tell Mother Yashoda that Krishna is dancing in the night with Radharani, she won't believe it. No, he's sleeping peacefully. A different philosophy, there are four main sampradayas within Vaishnavism, and they have different philosophies. And the philosophy, or we can say different brands or different strains of the same philosophy, which is that we are all eternal servants of Vishnu. But if we examine their philosophy, we'll find that it also, it's not just a matter of philosophical understanding, but it comes down to taste also. Those who are inclined to worship Vishnu in a majestic way, their philosophy will match that. So these various ways, philosophical disputation, that may be there within, this is talking about within various sampradayas, seems to be like that, or within an institution, as ISKCON is an institution. This idea of everyone having a say, a body of judges, just so that everyone doesn't get upset, they're all different ideas, but again, truth is one. So we should try to understand that. The truth is understood through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So within Vaishnav society, or within Vedic society, in a broader Vedic society, disputations, they're brought to dispute, to debate. And there are certain axioms. Within Vedic society, the axiom is that we accept the authority of the Vedas. Particularly Shruti Pramana. Then Shruti, and then Smriti. Shruti means the original Vedas. Smriti means Itihas and Puranas. And then Nyaya, this is Prasthantrai, the three sources or methods. So Nyai means Vedanta, Upanishads, which is also Shruti, but particularly as commented on by Vyasadeva in Vedanta Sutra. So that's Vedanta Sutra. This is within the Vedanta schools, which includes the Vaishnava schools plus the Advaita school or Shankara. So they accept the Vedanta Sutra. That's the go-between. Bhagavad Gita also, because Bhagavad Gita is may be considered Shruti in as much as Yasvayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmat Vinisritam. It's directly spoken by Krishna, who is the Veda. Shruti means that which emanates from Narayana. So this is the, and then again may be considered Smriti because it's within Mahabharat, which is so that's the Vedanta Sutra is supposed to negotiate what is the ultimate understanding of all Shruti and Smriti. And then again, Srimad Bhagavatam, that sarvaveda itihasanam saram saram hi udaharitam, the extracted essence of all the shastras is Srimad Bhagavatam. So the in debate there has to be some acceptance of some grounds on which we can discuss. So in the Vedanta schools, which dominate orthodox Indian spiritual life at the present time, by that I mean we're not talking about Sai Baba or Amma or any modern fashionable ideas, but those which are well grounded in tradition. So they accept Vedanta Sutra, and especially Gauriyas have given great emphasis on Srimad Bhagavatam. Vallabhacharya also, Srimad Bhagavatam. So debate. There may not be resolution. The debates may go on forever. That means that if someone is convinced of a certain thing, then it's very difficult to unconvince them. There's that saying by Pepys or Pope, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still, although you can't really convince someone against their will. William Blake, we both read the Bible day and night, but where I see black, you see white. So there may not resonate. There's the Advaitavadis and Vaishnavas, and this I of course Shankaracharya appeared historically, but this is going on from time immemorial. The Mayavadis or Brahmavadis debating with the Vaishnavas, that will go on. So there may be no resolution of this. And then you have to follow what you think. Or even within a sampradaya, we find that in the Sri Vaishnava sampradaya, Tengalai, Varagalai, the split is there over various philosophical points. Is Bhagavan Paramatma inside the soul or with the soul, for instance? There's no resolution. The resolution at the present time is that they gave up. They don't fight anymore. They just go on with life together. Within our ISKCON also, there's Guruvad, Ritvikvad, that's going on. Although Ritvikism is expelled from the original ISKCON society that Srila Prabhupada set up. And there's a whole alternative movement of Ritvikism, which is like it's similar to Protestantism, which broke away from the authorized or original Catholic Church and said, this is the real thing. So these things will go on. And what's the resolution? How we should be eager to find the truth. Atato Brahma Jignasa. On an institutional level, it's not possible to bring everyone together. One suggestion is just let everyone do whatever they want. But there has to, that goes on to some extent, just like within ISKCON at the present time, there are different devotees and different leaders who have different outlooks on different issues, but as long as it's within a certain limits, then it's allowed to go on. Although it can be confusing for new people who come when they go to one lecture one day and someone says something, and another day someone says something on the same point quite different. One has to follow a guru. That's the point. Guru is supposed to be the medium who on behalf of the disciple links one with Krishna. Within a sampradaya, if someone is deviant, there may be so. All right, let's go to the Gauriya Vaishnava sampradaya has traditionally been not much structured, less than any of the other sampradayas, either Advaita or Vaishnava. It's traditionally not been very structured, but there has been excommunication also. In history, the Rupa Kaviraj, he gave a theory that only renunciants could be gurus, was specifically targeted against the line of Srinivas Acharya, who married late in life. And he was expelled for this heresy. And then he got some more heresies. And then... No, not Srinivas Acharya, Rupa Kaviraj. Yeah. And there's the Hit Harivamsa Sampradaya, which worships Radha, but they're not considered Gauriya because they don't accept any Shastra. It's just directly Radha. Anyway, there are so many points if we go into it. And no need to follow Ekadashi because the gopis of Vrindavan, they didn't follow Ekadashi, and so on. So if something is too heretical, if it's not just different, but it's heretical, then there may be those, the orthodoxy or the authorities of a sampradaya may expel them. But those who are expelled, they don't think that they're heretical. They think the others are heretical. And so it goes on. So what can you do? On an individual basis, then you just have to pray, Krishna, guide me to the right path. If we're sincere, then we'll get the right guidance. As I was mentioning yesterday, there's so much emphasis put. You have to find a guru who's not going to cheat you. Well, you become the disciple. All right, that's good. You should look for a guru who's not going to cheat. But you should also become a disciple who doesn't want to cheat the guru and cheat himself and cheat everyone else also. Krishna will reciprocate. Institutionally, how to manage all these things? Well, often we just have to take it as it comes. Just like this Ritvik heresy arose, so it had to be dealt with. Then it's officially considered heretical within ISKCON to maintain that the soul never fell from the spiritual world, although many devotees within ISKCON, they still quietly accept that, and no one's making much of a fuss about it. And how are you going to settle all this anyway? You can go and say the other kind of thing, you'll go on debating forever. So what's the answer to all this? Well, within ISKCON as an institution, we have to, like I say, we don't have a strong institutionally, we don't have a strong philosophical basis. Philosophically, as we have Srila Prabhupada's books, we have the teachings of the Acharyas, we do have a very strong basis, but it's not been reified, is that the right word here, brought into the institution. We're quite weak, I would say. I mean, there are not many who seem to be even willing to give philosophical guidance. It's even the courses are taught by Bhakti Shastra, and I'm told they deliberately avoid controversial points. What is the Vaishnava process of resolution of these conflicts? That's the essence of this question. Well, there isn't one set Vaishnava system. But the general system is that the Acharyas, they will not just pronounce, but they will make writings on various points. We find that all the Acharyas, the various Acharyas, One of the reasons why we have the prominent Acharyas given in our Sampradaya, there have been thousands of gurus within Gauriya Vaishnavism, why in the list of names do we have Rup, Raghunath, Krishnadas Kaviraj, Narottam, Vishwanath, Baladev? Well, many of them are there because they addressed various philosophical points in their writings and clarified them. So that is part of a major part of being a prominent Acharya, even more than initiating many disciples, is to establish this, and even more than opening temples, is to establish the sampradaya or make a philosophical contribution. The original six Goswamis, they established the whole philosophical basis of our Sampradaya. Jiva Goswami especially addressed so many philosophical issues in his Shandarbhas. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he gave the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in who he is. Na Chaitanya at Krishna Jagati Paratattvam Parasatyam. Na Chaitanya at Krishna Jagati. Can't remember the last few lines. Anyway, there's no truth higher than him. Yad Advaitam Brahmopanishadidi Tadapyasya Tanubai Yaatmanta Yami Purushang Iti So Shangsa Vibhavaha Sharai Shvarya Purno Yayaha Sa Bhagavan Sasvayamayam Na Chaitanya Krishna Jagati Param. Just can't remember the last line. Anyway, that which is extolled as Brahman in the Upanishads, Paramatma in everyone's heart, meditated on by the yogis, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in six opulences, That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no truth higher than him. Vishwanath Chakravarti, he gave the direction of the Gaudiya Sampradaya into the Parakya rather than Svakya worship of Krishna, apparently deviating from Jiva Goswami, apparently, and so on. So that's it ultimately, that the it is resolved by writings, and then we have to see, and then who will say what is orthodox? Within the Madhva Sampradaya, they have their Ashtamat. So what is concluded that they have the orthodoxy is connected with particular mats. But in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, it's never been like that. Well, you could say Radhakund, there's the Mahant of Radhakund. Among the Babajis and their followers, the Mahant of Radhakund is supposed to be the highest authority. But that's only a very small number of Gauriyas. So, truth reveals itself. Just recently I listened to truth reveals himself, Krishna reveals himself. Recently I heard a recording of Srila Prabhupada speaking at a Pandal program in Hyderabad, after which someone asked a question. It was quite a long, he spoke quite a long time, and Prabhupada listened, and then Prabhupada gave a long reply. In essence, the question was this, is that Shankara says that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, ultimate is true and this world is false. And Madhva says, Brahma Satya Jagat Satya, this world is real, Brahman is real and this world is real. And Ramanuja, this man said that I can't understand him. He says this world is real and not real and different phases. He didn't seem to have a very high opinion of Ramanuja. And he asked Prabhupada, could you clarify this? And Srila Prabhupada said, well, we follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We reject this. The system is Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanda. One has to follow a Mahajana. But then Srila Prabhupada says, but you have to use common sense also. That's a very interesting thing, isn't it? Because someone says, well, I'm following a Mahajana, I'm following Shankara. Someone else will say, I'm following a Mahajana, I'm following Madhva. We have to use... So, from this we understand that understanding or perceiving reality is... Ultimately, it's reality is independent, objective. But from the individual point of view, it's subjective also. Srila Prabhupada said, common sense also. And he gave the example that, well, if Brahman is Satya, how is the Jagat which comes from it Mithya? And he gave various examples to nullify the Mayavad philosophy. So one has to... It may be that someone will say this... Maybe a very respected figure, institutional leader, but ultimately the individual has to see where to go, what to follow. Or there may be those who just turn off their thinking process and think, oh, well, I'll just chant Hare Krishna. You can also do that. We can emphasize orthopraxy instead of orthodoxy. That means we'll just follow the process. Never mind about the philosophy so much. Of course, that's not what's... And others will say, no, you have to get the philosophy right, and then you can practice properly. And that actually is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Siddhanta balya chitte na karaha losh, yaha hoite krishne lage sudra manosh. Don't be lazy in understanding the philosophical truth. By this way, your mind will become closely attached to Krishna. Institutionally, yeah, there may be excommunication. If someone comes up with a theory that actually the Brahma Kumaris are right, actually it's Lord Shiva who spoke Bhagavad Gita, not Krishna, then they'd have to be excommunicated from ISKCON. For instance, if I was to start preaching that, which I'm not going to do, I'm just giving an absurd example, then I should be excommunicated. Yes. Other things, they may be more marginal.